This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
I think over the years I have become a student of history. I like to read about great men, what made them great, what made them successful, what made them powerful, and at times what ultimately brings them to their knees. One thing is consistent in all of my studies: when men have power and do not honor God, He will have something to say in the end. This morning I would like to talk just for a few brief moments about men who have power and do not honor God. I realize as I speak to the student body here at Columbia International University, I realize I'm talking to a powerful group of young men and women who will make a kingdom impact on the world. But as you grow in power, I hope that you recognize that you honor God, that you put Him first in all things, not in just the things that you put Him first in now, but in all things as you grow and as you become powerful and successful in ministry. I pray that you keep God first. The travel agent has booked us a ticket to Daniel chapter 3, so let us turn there. Daniel chapter 3, and let's pick up the story there. The story is about a man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, I think he likes himself. He smiles at himself in the mirror when he wakes up in the morning. As a matter of fact, he couldn't get enough of himself, so he had them to build a huge statue so that the sound of the music, people would bow down and worship the statue, remembering him. I want to tell you, when men have power and do not honor God, they love to be worshiped. They love to be worshiped. And Nebuchadnezzar falls into that trap of liking himself too much, loving himself so much, till he wants to be worshiped. But there's three guys in Daniel chapter 3 who hears the sound of the music and they refuse to bow at this statue. That's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that's his name. Yes, in Daniel chapter 3, when they hear the music, they do not bow down because they hear the music. They do not bow because they think Nebuchadnezzar is powerful. They do not bow because they realize they serve the true and living God. Let me read just a few verses to you in Daniel chapter 3, verse 16, 17, and 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, "The king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter." Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to bow, like everyone else. Bow when you hear the music. "If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us from your hand, O king." The king threatened that if you don't bow, that you'll have to be cast into the fiery furnace. But I love their response. "But if not, if God decides not to deliver us, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego made up their minds. Even though Nebuchadnezzar is powerful, even though he thinks he's sovereign, even though he's the big man on the yard, they make it known that we won't bow to you. We will not bow to your gods. When men have power and they don't acknowledge God, they love to be worshiped. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar was. But he had these three defiant Hebrews that would not do it. So, being a man of his word, he tells them to turn up the furnace seven times hotter and cast these three boys into the fiery furnace. It's interesting in the text that those who were turning up the heat opened the gate to the furnace, burned up themselves. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are cast into the fiery furnace. But somewhere along the way, Nebuchadnezzar thought about it. And he had them to check up on those boys. And he had them to look in to see what was going on. And they went into the fiery furnace bound. But when they checked on them, they were freed inside the fiery furnace. But they thought they only threw three guys inside the fiery furnace. But when they checked on it, it was four guys inside the fiery furnace. And the fourth one looked like likening to the Son of God. And they were not bound inside the fire. Let me just say this, brothers and sisters. Sometimes God will not spare us from the fiery furnace. Yeah. But what he does, he spares us in the fiery furnace. So don't try to stay away from the fiery furnace. If that's the Lord's will, to put us on display, to allow us to go to the fiery furnace, know that our God is able to even protect us even in the fiery furnace. So they decide to get those three boys out, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the Bible says they brought them out. They were not harmed. They were not burned. They didn't even smell like smoke. But that fourth guy, one that was likened to the Son of God, stayed in the fiery furnace. I'm always wondering, why did he stay behind? Why didn't he get out of the fiery furnace too? Because maybe he's waiting on me, and maybe he's waiting on you, so that when we have to go to the fiery furnace, we have someone that can help us, someone that can aid us as we face the trials in our lives. Notice in the fiery furnace, it says that they went in bound. But when they checked them, they were walking around. Matter of fact, they were probably skipping around in the fiery furnace. It wasn't because they were hot. It was because they were giving God praise and honor because what he has done, sparing them in the fiery furnace. Let me stop for station identification break and ask you a question. Do you like to be worshiped this morning? Do you like the sound of your name being called? Do you like when people honor you and bow down to you? I pray that you're not like Nebuchadnezzar. I pray that you're not bowing to people like Nebuchadnezzar. We got to realize that we work for some people, but we serve the Lord. And he's the only one that we should bow down to. Men who have power but do not honor God. Nebuchadnezzar, you thought he would have learned his lesson because he gives God's praise at the end of chapter 3. He's just praising God. But as we get to chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar's back at it again. He's full of pride. And God has to humble him. When men have power and do not honor God, be careful how high you go, because God will bring you down. Amen. And when we get to chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar, he hasn't learned his lesson. He's growing in power. All the nations of the world know him. I mean, this is a powerful giant of a man. And all of a sudden, he's troubled in his sleep. Because he has a dream, he has a vision, and it's about this tall tree, and birds are nesting in the tree, beasts are taking shelter up under the tree, and all of a sudden, Nebuchadnezzar is concerned, because this tree is going to be chopped down. So he calls in all of his astrologers, he calls in those people that should be able to interpret the dream. But in all of his wisdom in the kingdom, no one is able to interpret the dream. Someone said, well, what about Daniel? So they went and got Daniel, and Daniel listened to the dream. And all of a sudden, he was able to interpret the dream. He said, King, you are the tree in the dream. And wild beasts have made comfort and refuge, the birds. That's as far as your kingdom has gone. You are great and you're powerful. Your tree has reached to the heavens. King, you have it going on. But there's a problem. You don't acknowledge God. So you're going to be cut down unless you honor God. He warns him. He says, acknowledge God, and I think he will extend your prosperity. But instead of honoring God, he hears the interpretation of the dream, which I'm kind of wondering why Daniel is still alive, because telling someone as powerful as Nebuchadnezzar that, hey, you're going to be cut down would be worthy of death. But when a man ways please the Lord, even his enemies will be at peace with him. And of course, Nebuchadnezzar hears it. He has this second dream, and all of a sudden, he's willing to go on as life as normal. And the Bible tells us in chapter 4, verse 28, 29, and 30, Nebuchadnezzar has 12 months. He has a solid year. He could have repented. And at the end of 12 months, according to verse 29, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power?" Notice that, by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty. You notice he hasn't put God first. And the Bible says, notice in verse 31, while the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. Just like the dream said, "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you." And that day, Nebuchadnezzar, he lost his ability to be a man, and he became a mere animal, a feathered animal with claws, eating grass. He's insane. Probably a royal embarrassment to the family, to his friends. He lives in isolation now because he's one that had power and he would not honor God. And because he wouldn't honor God, God brought his kingdom to a halt, to a temporary halt. And he disciplined. Now, after a year of allowing him to masquerade, to carry on, he had 12 months that he could have repented. But yet he would not turn his attention to the Lord. Let me stop for station identification break and tell you, brothers and sisters, unless you honor God, you may go high, but he has a way of bringing you down. And I pray that it doesn't have to be this way, because the Bible tells us that in verse 34, same chapter, verse 34 in chapter 4, at the end of time, it was almost like Nebuchadnezzar had gotten to the end of his rope. Nebuchadnezzar lifted up his eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. You see, brothers and sisters, it wasn't until he turned his attention to the Lord that the Lord restored him. You know, I wonder how many of us, we think we can somehow ignore God and God will just continue to bless us. And just because we're studying at Columbia International University does not mean that we honor God. It may mean that we're getting a good education, but it doesn't mean that we're honoring God. I know many women who have studied the Bible and get crazier after they study the Bible than they were before they studied the Bible. And I don't understand that. It's almost like they become a god in their own right. You know, sanity begins when we have the self-realization of an honest self-appraisal. That, God, I am nothing without you. I am nothing without you, God. The ability to recognize God is the fundamental difference between beast and man. If you want to know whether or not you're really maturing, am I really honoring God? In every age, the glory of man is to recognize God and to take his place relative to the sovereign of the universe. Nothing is more insane than human pride. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. There's nothing more insane than human pride. When you become arrogant and prideful and you set God aside, God will bring you down. Nothing is more sober and more sensible than to praise God. Well, the story doesn't stop there. Almost 66 years later from chapter 1, we run into chapter 5 of Daniel. 36 years has passed between Daniel chapter 4 and Daniel chapter 5. What has happened, Daniel chapter 7 has already occurred, the revelations. Daniel chapter 8. And now Daniel is probably about 80 years old. Nebuchadnezzar is dead now. There's another king. And Belshazzar is in charge of the kingdom. While his father is away, he likes to have parties. He likes to drink. He likes to just carouse around the kingdom. I mean, he's just in a drunken stupor just about all the time. And he decides with all the people at the party, some historians believe that 15, 20,000 people could show up to feast at one time and just get into a drunken kind of stupor. I mean, it was bad, y'all. And here we have Belshazzar in chapter 5, who's in the midst of one of his parties. And he does something crazy. He said, go get those gold cups that we retrieved from the Hebrews so we can drink out of it. He has no honor for the things of God, for the people of God. I mean, he said, let's go get those cups and drink out of them. I mean, he's just drunk and he's mean. But all of a sudden, in the midst of their party, there comes some handwriting on the wall. I mean, some could read it. It's in Arabic. They could read it, but they couldn't quite. I can't quite understand what it means. So they begin to call in all those guys that should be able to interpret this, and nobody's able to interpret it. And all of a sudden, somebody said, "Well, what about Daniel?" And they went to go get Daniel. And Daniel came in, and he looked at the writing that was on the wall, and he began to interpret it. He began to read it. They said, yeah, that's what it says. But Daniel was able to translate it, to understand it, to give commentary to it. He said, well, there's simply a history lesson here and a spelling lesson. What he does, he tells them about his grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar. He said, don't you remember what happened? It was 14 years later. It was 14 years removed since his grandfather's died. And maybe his grandfather didn't tell him the story. Maybe nobody told him the story about his grandfather walking around on all four with claws and with feathers and eating grass and insane for all that time. Maybe nobody shared that until Nebuchadnezzar looked up and acknowledged God that he acted like a mere beast. Nobody told him. But now here in chapter 5, he says, Belshazzar, verse 22, you have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this. You, in verse 23, you have lifted yourself against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your lords and your wives and your concubines have drunk wine from them, and you have praised the gods of silver and gold and bronze and iron and wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know. And the God who holds your breath in his hands and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. You see, Belshazzar, at least while his father's away, has power, but he does not honor God. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Belshazzar thought that he was the sovereign, that he could do whatever he wanted to do, but he still has the answer to the master. And the same night they had this party, this drunken, stupid kind of party, Darius came in and Belshazzar had to give up his life. He and his lords, his concubines, they overthrew the kingdom in just one night. And I know someone is saying, wait a minute. You just said in chapter 4 that he gave Nebuchadnezzar a year to repent. Now you're saying in chapter 5 he only gave Belshazzar one night. And even in that one night, it wouldn't have been enough, because judgment was already in the house. I don't understand why he gives some people more time than others. I don't understand why he gave Nebuchadnezzar grace, because he took him down for a little while, made him like a beast, but when he acknowledged him, he gave Nebuchadnezzar all of his stuff back. Well, but Belshazzar, when he lost it, he literally lost his life the same night. There may be someone on the sound of my voice to think you have more time. But let Belshazzar's story be a story for all of us. Our time may be it may run out. And then one night, they changed administrations, and Belshazzar lost his life. Have y'all noticed something in Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And in Daniel chapter 4, Daniel, I mean, this guy's big time. I mean, he's interpreting dreams. And matter of fact, this is the second dream that he's interpreted from Nebuchadnezzar. He's interpreted one in chapter 2. Now he's at it again in chapter 4. God is with this guy. In chapter 5, we have a new administration, but Daniel has still, somehow, because he's acknowledged God, he's honored God. I wouldn't eat the king's meat, nor his drink in chapter 1. God has allowed him to rise to the top. But all of a sudden now in Daniel chapter 6, we have a new administration. It's with Darius. And you all know the story. There was a plot against Daniel with the Persians and the Medes there. Darius is in charge, and some of the royals, some of the officials came because they couldn't stand it that a foreigner was calling the shots in the kingdom. So they set out a plot against Daniel. They wanted him taken out of office. Why? Because these men had power, but they did not acknowledge God. So they decided to come up against God's man. So they said, what can we possibly get on Daniel? Does he sleep around? No. Is he stealing money? No. Is he doing? No, he's not doing any of those other things. Is he gambling? No. What can we possibly get on Daniel? They said, well, the only thing Daniel does is pray. They said, that's the way we're getting. Because prayer in the life of Daniel was a matter of life and death. He prayed regularly, 3 times a day. He cried out to God. And they just said, that's how we'll get him. We'll get him in his prayer life. So they decided to have the king to sign an edict, to sign a law that said anybody caught praying to any other god beside Darius's god will be thrown into the lion's den. Sure enough, when Daniel heard this, he went home and he opened the windows. It's almost like Daniel said, I'm not hiding. And he prayed. And those haters, I mean, those people that wanted to see him fired, decided to go tell the king, he's praying to another god. See, he's praying to another god. They said, you have to throw him into the lion's den. And Darius, not thinking about Daniel, perhaps when he signed it into law, tried to find a way around his own edict, tried to find a way around his own law, but he couldn't do it. Men in power who did not honor God decided to get rid of Daniel. And the Bible tells us that after he toiled with it, he had to honor his own law, he had to honor his own word, and he had to cast Daniel to the lion's den. But I love what he says. He says, Daniel, the God that you continually serve will save you. Can I stop and tell you this? He may not spare us from the lion's den, but he can spare us in the lion's den. He can take care of us. He turned that lion's den into a sanctuary. He turned it into a prayer closet, into a prayer room, into a resting place so that Daniel could give God praise throughout the night. And brothers and sisters, Darius kept his word, put Daniel into the lion's den, and Darius rose up early. He said, we got to go get Daniel out, and baby, his God is taking care of him. And sure enough, when they opened the lion's gate, Daniel was preserved. Daniel was probably chilling on one of those lions. I'm using my sanctified imagination. Come on, stay with me here. Daniel got up, thankful to be alive. And it was almost like Darius said, I knew God would do it. He breathed a sigh of relief. Some of y'all think, I hear you, some of y'all think that the reason why Daniel was not eaten in the midnight hour while he was in the lion's den was because maybe the lions were not hungry. I feel you. Maybe you don't see it. Maybe you see it as some of those progressive or liberal folks that doesn't see this as a miracle. But if I had to spend the night with the lions in Riverbank Zoo and they didn't eat me, I would call it a miracle. Yeah. y'all figure that out, what I just said on the way home. Just figure it out. But watch this. The same guys that plotted against Daniel, if you keep on following the story in chapter 6, These men with power that did not honor God were cast into the same lion's den. And the Bible says before they even hit the bottom of the lion's den, they were eaten alive by the same lions that had spent the night with Daniel. When men have power and do not honor God, God will have something to say about it. Now, who am I preaching to in here? Because y'all growing in power. I pray that you don't like to be worshiped, but you point your life towards the one who needs to be worshiped, who deserves our worship. I pray today as I close, I pray if you've been trying to stay away from the fiery furnace, that Lord have mercy if I ever have to go. I know that God can spare me in the fiery furnace. Men may have their power, but God has more power. That when men have power and they don't honor God, they may act like beasts at times. They may grow claws. And I don't want you to look at your neighbor and see whether or not they're growing claws this morning and feathers. But that could even happen here at CIU. I pray that we don't ignore the things of God and be wiped out in one night like Belshazzar. And my prayer is today that if we ever have to go to the lion's den, because we will have people who don't like us because they don't like what we represent. And when they have to send us to the lion's den, brothers and sisters, I pray that you say, he didn't spare me from the lion's den, but he can spare me in the lion's den. And watch God work everything out. Now, Lord, I pray today for these men and women. A lot of them have power. But I pray as they grow in power that they honor you. When a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies will be at peace with him. Father, I pray that you teach us how to use our power well, not for our own glory, but for your glory. For us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray to that end. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.